From Plainview to Presidio, Port Arthur to Pyeongchang. No matter where you've tuned in from this Tuesday, February 13th, you've tuned in to the Texas Standard. I'm Laura Rice, in for David Brown. It's probably fair to say there's a certain level of divisiveness in the U.S. these days, and that's certainly not historically unusual, although it can sometimes feel that way. But perhaps there's nothing that can get Americans feeling like they're on the same team, at least for a moment, quite like seeing a near-perfect snowboarding halfpipe run by a spunky teenager in a USA uniform. Congratulations on the gold, Chloe Kim. But then we remember, there is a lot we all disagree about. And one reminder of that is the divided response to two big proposals from President Trump. One, a budget plan that ramps up military spending but cuts domestic programs and would add to the federal deficit. The other, a $1.5 trillion infrastructure proposal that everyone seems to agree is needed, but no one is on the same page about where exactly that money would come from. Kevin Diaz has been writing about all this for the Houston Chronicle. He joins us now. Kevin, welcome back to The Standard.
Hey, good to be with you.
So I want to start quickly with that White House budget plan I mentioned. Kevin, what are some key takeaways for Texas in that?
Well, probably the biggest, of course, is the border, which is our running story. The administration wants to put about $1.6 billion into border security, and that's just for this year. That's not, you know, the whole project, of course, is about $18 or $20 billion, but that's how much they're asking for now. And that pays for something like 65 miles of fence, which doesn't sound like a lot. It would probably underscore just how expensive this project is. But that's the big one. And not just the border, but, while a lot of budgets and agencies are getting cut, the Department of Homeland Security is looking at budget increases. And Texas gets a lot of that money because we're on the border.
I want to really focus on another proposal from the president, the one focused on infrastructure. Texas has already made some steps toward road improvements with a couple of recent voter-approved propositions. Would you mind giving us a brief refresher on what that plan was?
Well, yeah, the salient point, though, is that the money that Texas approved some years ago also seems to bar a big chunk of the financing scheme that Trump is proposing, which is public-private partnerships, and specifically toll roads, which people are fairly hostile to in Texas, particularly, you know, it's in the Republican Party platform is that they're opposed to toll roads. So the question is going to be how this stuff gets paid for, given that the feds are only offering about 20% of the financing if they approve the projects, and the states and local units of government have to come up with the rest.
So that would mean this money that Texans approved from the Rainy Day Fund sort of conflicts then with what the president wants, because they've got this pot of money that they can spend on infrastructure. But the rules are, as voters approved it, we can't spend this on tolls. And that's what President Trump is pushing for, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, I don't want to say it conflicts across the board, just to the extent that these projects would involve tolling or some kind of heavy private participation. It would become more problematic. But I could see some dovetailing here. I mean, if the state wants to put up money for big projects, the feds are saying, you know, they're dangling federal dollars in front of them, saying, okay, well, you know, we'll match. And by match, I don't mean 50-50. I mean, in a lot of people's minds, that means half and half. But
right.
No, this is more 80-20. But no, they are dangling federal dollars out there, which state and local governments can leverage to get a little more bang out of their dollar. So in some cases, it could work. But we just don't know which projects yet the state is going to put up there.
So Texas could stand to benefit from some of this, as you mentioned. Are there specific areas that sort of stick out to you as infrastructure needs that Texas could take advantage of here?
Yeah, just to bear in mind, this is being billed as a $1.5 trillion infrastructure program. Mm-hmm. It's actually only $200 billion in federal dollars. And about a quarter of that, about $50 billion of it, is supposed to be directed at rural infrastructure, which could be a huge boon for Texas, particularly outlying areas of the state. What they're thinking of specifically is communications infrastructure, internet, broadband, that kind of thing, basically wiring rural America. So that would be a huge benefit to Texas if the state and local units of government can put together projects that would fit that bill.
Well, and you've alluded to this, and this is the major issue that state and local municipalities are talking about, which is like, well, how are we going to fund this? What have you heard so far from state and local lawmakers?
Well, very little, actually, so far. They're still, I think, keeping their powder dry, playing their cards close to the vest. They're still trying to analyze what the program is and what the opportunities are.
Kevin Diaz is Washington correspondent for the Houston Chronicle. Kevin, thanks again.
You're welcome. Good to be with you.
And one of the local leaders trying to understand just how Trump's infrastructure plan would affect his city is Corpus Christi Mayor Joe McComb. Mayor McComb, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Corpus made national headlines a little more than a year ago after the city's tap water was contaminated by a chemical. It left the city without safe drinking water for several days. How has the city recovered from that, and what emphasis has there been in the past year to fix the city's water infrastructure?
Well, the incident that happened last year, let me just hopefully clear the water system itself was never contaminated. Mm-hmm. The investigation is still going on as to what caused what they thought was a breach of the system, but all of the EPA tests and the water quality tests reported back negative. That the water actually got into the system. There was a breach in a pipe from one of the local industrial users, but the water never got in the system. But we had to take, you know, the precaution. But what we have done and what caused that was a backflow preventer evidently was not there or it malfunctioned. We have yet to, and this has been over a year, and we have yet to have a report back from either the EPA or the TCEQ. So we really don't know what caused the issue, but we've implemented some plans that, one, we will be having inspections on all of our industrial facilities. The backflow preventers are installed and are checked and maintained in the reporting process. And also for our residential customers that, for instance, have swimming pools and sprinkler systems, that water going to, you know, either one of those as a backflow preventer, so that in the event there's a malfunction in one of those, that it does, you know, it prevents the water from backing back up into the water system. So, you know, knock on wood, we have not had an incident since that time.
So it sounds like you've been focused on making sure that everything's good with the water infrastructure. What are the other big infrastructure issues that you'd be focused on in Corpus?
The main one that we're focusing on now is our wastewater treatment and collection systems. And we're making some major strides in that, trying to address the collection system primarily, because what we found through different studies is that, obviously, like many communities throughout the country, the collection system is old. A lot of it is made out of clay pipe, and they break after years of service, some of them 50 years old or so. And that's a plan, and we've got several projects underway and several projects on the drawing boards that, depending on the timing and the funds available, will be addressed as quickly as possible. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to get into the weeds on this infrastructure package, but I like a lot of the provisions that are in here, where it talks about reducing the amount of time that it takes to get approval and permitting, and some of just the regulatory things that just kill you in terms of, you start a project and it, you know, takes years to get your processing done through the permitting and all that. If that can be expedited, that'd be wonderful. On the other hand, I've had a couple of people from the staff look at some of the things that are a concern to me, and that some of the projects, and I'm not sure they're specifically for wastewater, but infrastructure, I guess, as a general statement, it appears that in many cases they're kind of flipping the match, where in the past it's kind of been a 80 federal, 20 local. It looks like they're putting 80 on the local and 20 on the federal, which really will bring things to a screeching halt in many cases, because the local, financially, we just don't have that kind of money.
Could that mean taxes or tolls or cuts in the budget elsewhere? It sounds like that's a big concern for you about how you come up with the money.
That could have a significant impact, and that, of course, obviously one slows down projects, and two, it puts pressure on you to, if you got to come up with that additional money, you've either got to go out and get bonding, or you got to raise your taxes. And I haven't had it. I haven't had anybody that has told me when I'm running for office, please raise my taxes.
Joe McComb is the mayor of Corpus Christi. Mayor McComb, thank you again.
Well, thank you very much.